You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. 7 minutes past 8 o'clock on this Friday, March the 2nd, and you are tuned to the Week in Review. And this is also your last opportunity to support Wisconsin Public Radio during this program, during this winter membership drive. Joining me for the first few minutes of the program, executive talk producer Cheryl Gasser. Good morning, Cheryl.
Good morning, Joy. We have a special challenge during the first few minutes of this program. If we can raise $3,000 by 8:20 this morning, a group of existing members to Wisconsin Public Radio will send in an additional $500. So your pledge during these first few minutes of the Week in Review go that much further.
The number. What did you say? $3,000 by 8:20?
$3,000. We need to reach these goals hour by hour, break by break, to make our overall goal. We have fallen short earlier in the week, and we want to make up for it during this last weekday of the drive. The number to call, 1-800-383-9772. You can do it. You can make a difference. You can pledge online as well, WPR.org.
Well, 1-800-383-9772. We can do it with your help. $3,000 in just a little more than 10 minutes. We'll see. If you go to the phone, though, we have a chance. If you don't, we don't. 1-800-383-9772 or WPR.org. If we reach that $3,000 mark by 20 minutes after the hour, an extra $500, a challenge from existing members. And I was just told I'm not supposed to say if we reach that amount. I'm supposed to say when we reach that amount, Cheryl.
And we will. We will with your call to 1-800-383-9772 or your pledge online, safe and secure at WPR.org. This hour, and this is the last chance during this drive to pick up for a pledge of any amount. We will send you, if you would like it, the Wisconsin Legislative and Congressional Directory. It is a listing of phone numbers, emails, addresses, web pages for your leaders at the state and congressional level here in Wisconsin. We know that listeners, especially to the Week in Review, want to have their say on the issues of the day, often write their representatives, and this will make it that much easier, a handy directory, our way of saying thank you for your pledge of support at any level to Wisconsin Public Radio during the Week in Review.
Yeah, the average pledge is about $120 a year, $10 a month or more. That's the pledge that will also get you automatically the member benefit card, a card that you can carry around in your purse or wallet and whip out at the participating restaurants and get two-for-one entrees at the participating restaurants, also two-for-one admissions to a bunch of cultural events and other deals on the member benefit card. Our thank you for becoming a member of Wisconsin Public Radio, for supporting listeners supported Wisconsin Public Radio with your pledge of support of $10 a month or more. 1-800-383-9772. 1-800-383-9772. Any pledge welcome, every pledge needed to help us reach this $3,000 goal that we have we have to reach that by 8:20 in order to receive an extra $500 from existing Wisconsin Public Radio members. 1-800-383-9772.
We know that the Week in Review is a favorite of many listeners, and because it's on your list, the favorite hours of the week, because you enjoy hearing from guests with differing perspectives, make a pledge now during this, your last chance to pledge both to Joy's program weekday mornings and to the Week in Review. 1-800-383-9772. When we raise $3,000 by 8:20 this morning, we will get an additional $500 from existing members of Wisconsin Public Radio. They want to encourage you to pledge. If you're already a member of Wisconsin Public Radio, thank you very much. And you can also make an additional gift. Many people pledge throughout the year to different programs, different times of the year. If you want to pick up that Wisconsin Legislative and Congressional Handbook, if you haven't already got one of those, this would be a great time to make an additional gift or become a new member of Wisconsin Public Radio.
1-800-383-9772. So far, I don't have any pledges posted on the computer toward that $3,000 goal. That if we don't reach this goal, we don't get the $500. Oh, Matt Rothschild, one of our guests, just gave me a check for $120. Thank you, Matt. We have $120 raised toward that $3,000 goal.
And Matt will be getting the member benefit card. And this, Matt, you got to tell you, this will pay if you use this once a month. It'll pay for your pledge over the course of a year. Two-for-one entrees at over 250 restaurants around the state, online shopping discounts, arts and cultural events, museums, botanical gardens. Again, our way of saying thank you for becoming a member of Wisconsin Public Radio. We want to reach, we will reach, with your help, that $3,000 goal. 7 minutes left. Be as generous as you can. When we reach $3,000 by 8:20 this morning, an additional $500 will be coming our way to Wisconsin Public Radio. Pledge any level, but be as generous as you can.
Let me thank some folks who have recently called in. Tom in Madison, this is a great program. I listen every day. Thank you, Tom, and thanks for your pledge. Patty and Richard in South Range always listen. This is a part of their daily living. They enjoy hearing the balanced viewpoints and current news with the Open Dialogues. Well, that's us, Open Dialogues, here on the Friday Week in Review. 1-800-383-9772. 1-800-383-9772. Call in and join Suzanne in Waukesha, who also called in a pledge this hour. She says, I listen to Joy every morning. I also love Science Friday. Thank you very much, Suzanne. We heard from callers all week, Cheryl. I saw some comments here that said, I really love the morning program, especially the Week in Review. And they called it on a different day. Well, right now is the Week in Review. So you can call in right now if you, too, love the Week in Review. 1-800-383-9772 or WPR.org.
We have about $2,000 left to raise to get that extra $500 challenge grant from existing members. You can be the next call, 1-800-383-9772. Your pledge also counts right away when you pledge online. It's safe and secure, WPR.org.
Yeah, we also will send you, as mentioned, the member benefit card at the $120 level, a pledge of any amount, any pledge we will send you. If you'd like it, the guide to how to get a hold of your legislators and congressional representatives. It's the 2007 Legislative and Congressional Handbook, which is yours for a pledge of support of any amount to Wisconsin Public Radio. We thought that would be an appropriate thank you gift during this hour, the Week in Review, when you hear from two different guests from different perspectives talking with you about the news of the week. You're you follow current issues. You're probably a little bit of a political junkie, and that we thought it would be an appropriate way to thank you for your support. 1-800-383-9772.
$1,200 left to go to reach that $3,000 goal by 8:20 this morning. We'll get an additional $500 from existing members. Your call can make the difference. 1-800-383-9772, because you're a fan of the Week in Review, because you enjoy hearing from guests like John Sharpless, Matt Rothschild, Ann Althaus, Ed Garvey. The list goes on and on. It's a wonderful program. It's one of the most popular hours of the week, and we want to hear from you now with your pledge of support.
And I don't play favorites on the Week in Review, Cheryl, but I will say that two of my favorite guests are with us today, and I know they're two of your favorite guests. You have told us so. Matt Rothschild and John Sharpless. We'll talk presidential politics coming up with more people getting into the race and some hinting maybe that they're going to get into the race. So we'll talk more about the war in Iraq. We'll talk about things going on in our state capitol as well, and whatever else you want to talk about. That's the Week in Review, and we'll get to it. In fact, Cheryl, I think that we should get to it in just a couple of minutes, and I'll cross my fingers that we reach that $3,000 in the next 5 minutes. One more time, though, the number.
1-800-383-9772. $1,000 to go to reach that goal. Keep those calls coming in and keep pledging online, WPR.org, and thank you.
Yeah, I'll let you know in 5 minutes if we got the extra $500. Thanks very much, Cheryl Gasser. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio, and let me finally welcome in our guests, and we are happy to have them with us. Matt Rothschild is the editor of The Progressive Magazine. Good morning, Matt.
Good morning, Joy.
And also with us, John Sharpless, a professor of history at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. Good morning.
Good morning.
And let me start with what happened on Sunday night at the Oscars. We, those of us who stayed up, saw Al Gore accepting his Oscar for his documentary, An Inconvenient Truth. And he and Leo DiCaprio were joking around, and here's a clip of that.
Now, are you positive that all this hard work hasn't inspired you to make any other kind of major announcement to the world here tonight?
Well, I do appreciate that, Leo, and I'm kind of surprised that the feelings welling up here are actually, you've been very convincing. And even though I honestly had not planned on doing this, I guess with a billion people watching, it's as good a time as any. So, my fellow Americans, I'm going to take this opportunity right here and now to formally announce my intention.
Ha, ha, ha. And then Gore made a kind of a lame second. You know, he kind of looked shocked when the music cut him off. Matt Rothschild, was that just a joke, or do you think Al Gore is seriously thinking about possibly entering the race?
Well, I don't think he got the Oscar for acting. I don't think he's going to enter the race. I don't think anyone who runs for president ever gets over the impulse or the desire to run for president, so I'm sure that's still ticking in his heart. But I think it's getting later for him to enter. A lot of the big money, smart money, and the consultants are already lining up between Hillary or Obama or Edwards. And so I think he's just going to keep doing what he's been doing. And my hat's off to Al Gore. I think he's done a great job in bringing this important, vital issue of global warming to everybody's attention. I think maybe he can do more good not being president.
Yeah. Well, what do you think, John Sharpless?
I'm certain he can do more good not being president. Bless him. I think a lot of pundits about a year ago were arguing that Gore had a chance to slip into this field if it got locked between two heavy hitter Democrats, say Obama and Clinton, and he would be the candidate that people would turn to as a kind of consensus choice. The argument was he was well positioned because he could come into this race and say, "I told you so. You know, if you had elected me, or if I hadn't had my election taken from me." There's a joke going around right now that the Supreme Court has taken back his Academy Award. I agree with Matt. I think too much has gone on since those predictions. And I kind of wonder if politics worked that way anymore. There might have been a time in American history when a consensus candidate could pull everybody together, the dark horse could slip in, and then all those angry feelings get muted. I think somebody on the current slate has to win, and they have to win fairly big for Democrats to rally around them. Obviously, right now, I think in terms of money, it looks like Hillary, but when I talk to Democrats, the campaign that they're particularly impressed with in terms of organization is Edwards. In terms of being everywhere, having a well-organized campaign, having a really strong sense of issues, it may turn out that Edwards is the one who comes through this if Obama and Clinton become entangled with one another.
Let me, we'll talk more presidential campaign politics in just a moment. Talking with John Sharpless, professor of history at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, and Matt Rothschild, editor of the Progressive Magazine, our two guests for our Friday Week in Review. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Friday Week in Review, and I am so happy to report that we did, thanks to you, raise the $3,000, the challenge that we had. We were challenged to raise $3,000 by 8:20 this morning in order to receive a $500 challenge grant from existing members of Wisconsin Public Radio. Thank you, thank you, thank you. 1-800-383-9772 is the number that you can still call to make a pledge of support. While we reach that little mini challenge there, the overall goal for the entire hour is $7,500, and we have just about $3,700 to go to reach that. So don't quit calling in. Your support for Wisconsin Public Radio is still important for us to do our part, the Week in Reviews part for the membership drive. 1-800-383-9772. Talking the news of the week with Matt Rothschild and John Sharpless. And you can, too. We talked a little bit about Al Gore's fake announcement that he was entering the race for president. We did hear a real announcement. John McCain, of all places, Matt Rothschild, announced he's running for president on the David Letterman show.
Yeah, he announced that he was going to announce that he was running.
Oh, is that what he said? Okay. But, I mean, what's he trying to reach out to the young urban Republican?
I don't know. He's kind of in trouble. His numbers have been plummeting inexplicably to me, really, because I don't know why Giuliani all of a sudden has overtaken him almost by double digits at this point. So that's kind of a surprise to me, except that McCain is anathema to the right-wing base of the Republican Party.
And what do you make of John McCain's...
This whole thing's a mystery right now, and I was shocked. A number of things came out of that big poll last week. I was very surprised that 20% of the people who knew of Governor Romney, they were suspicious of his Mormon religious beliefs, and I thought we left that in the 19th century sometime. And apparently he's been challenged now in the press because his great-great-grandfather was a polygamist. I guess if we have to defend our lineage, then we're in trouble.
Sins of the great-great-grandfathers now.
But I do think that Giuliani's support right now is quite mysterious. My guess is that it's thin because when the poll asked people to identify specific issues that he stood for, they couldn't. It's a kind of mysterious symbolic thing about him being at ground zero at 9/11. And clearly many Americans find that a very positive symbol. But I think once he has to explain all the big issues of the day, you know, how do we get out of Iraq? What are you going to do about Medicare? What about the prescription plan? I think the mystery is going to fade away here and he'll become a real candidate. But it is amazing right now how far ahead he is over all the other Republican candidates.
Yeah, does he have that factor of, I don't know, the fresh face, the somebody new?
He's not very fresh. Give me a break. He's been around for a long time. Giuliani, of all people, is hardly fresh. I just think that he's got a bit of magic here. He has this moment where he was seen by the American people as heroic. And there's a strong affinity for that. Whether or not over the long run of a campaign that sustains him, I would be surprised. Don't you think so?
Yeah, and the amazing thing about Giuliani is on 9/10, he was loathed by most people in New York City because he was perceived as a bully. He was siding with police who were acting brutally, especially toward African Americans, and his ratings were way down. And he, you know, he stood up on 9/11, and he's been sailing ever since. But you got to wonder how long that's going to last.
Let me ask you both. I saw some commentator saying, with the presidential race as it is now, that social conservatives are not going to support McCain or Giuliani, and then Newt Gingrich is going to jump into the fray, and Hillary and Barack are going to beat each other up, and then Al Gore is going to jump into the fray.
Well, that would be quite a race, wouldn't it? It'd be Al Gore, we'd have a couple of crusty old whatevers to vote for. There are problems with Gingrich too. Remember, Gingrich is a fiscal conservative, and he has things that he'll have to defend among social conservatives as well. I'm not sure that he's their perfect candidate either. This may be an election where social conservatives stay home, and because they've done that in the past to Republicans, and they just say, we're going to take a walk on this one. And we're going to teach the Republican Party a lesson so that they provide us what we want next time. I could be wrong on this, but I would be surprised if they would find Gingrich or Romney, any of these candidates that have been suggested or have announced, really friendly to their causes.
Yeah. What do you think, Matt?
I agree with that. I don't think Gingrich or Gore is going to jump in. I think it's long past time in American political history where you can get these late jumpers or you can get a draft where someone's going to get swept in. So I think the current field is the current field, except more people may drop out, like Vilsack dropped out of Iowa. And so it may thin a little bit. And I do believe that Edwards on the Democratic side, that his stock is undervalued. He's been in Iowa, living in Iowa, practically. He's up in the polls in Iowa. If he wins Iowa, you know, that's a tremendous trampoline. And he's been great on a lot of the issues for the Democratic base. He repented on his Iraq vote, and he's for ending that war. He's been real good on universal health care, and he's been walking almost every picket line in the country, probably more so than, you know, John Sweeney.
Yeah, I meant to ask you, Matt, when we were talking a little bit about Al Gore at the Oscars, you wrote a piece. You were disappointed that the winners and others didn't speak out against the war in Iraq when they picked up their Oscar trophies?
Well, the two issues that people talked about at the Oscars, one was global warming, and it really is easy in 2007 to all of a sudden be against global warming. And the other issue was gay rights, which Ellen really talked about, DeGeneres. But, you know, here we have a war that's going on that's killed, you know, 3,150 U.S. soldiers and wounded 24,000 U.S. soldiers and killed how many tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of Iraqi civilians. It is the single biggest issue right now facing this country, and no one said boo about it. The only mention was in the same field that Gore won the Academy Award, won documentaries. There were two documentaries on Iraq, but that, you know, if you weren't awake for the five-second snippet of those two documentaries, it would have been like there's no Iraq war going on.
Yeah. Speaking of war wounded, I wanted to get both of you to talk about this these terrible conditions that were exposed in a Washington Post piece of what's going on at the Walter Reed Army Medical Center. And yesterday, the person in charge, the general in charge of Walter Reed, was fired because of those deplorable conditions and apparently not doing anything about them. Is that good enough, John Sharpless?
Well, I have to say that this country has for a long time neglected its veterans' hospitals. It's we have to make a decision about whether or not the government is going to have a standalone, separate hospital system for veterans. That's been our tradition since actually World War I, but we expanded it after World War II. Or we're going to make a decision that veterans are going to get the very best care regardless of hospital, and we get the veterans to the caregivers that they need. And we've been divided between that, and we haven't done either very well. I think, cause some controversy among the listeners. It may be a time to leave the idea of veterans' hospitals, a standalone separate system, behind. We've done it poorly. It's getting worse and worse. I think what's happened, and I might say Walter Reed is considered the flagship hospital of the entire system. It's considered the very best. Remember, presidents go there to have heart attacks. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is considered the very best place. If it's flawed, imagine the ones that are in the small cities and towns in America. It may be we're at a point where veterans have to be promised the very best care. And if that means the Mayo Clinic, if it means the University of Texas Medical School, if it means the University of Wisconsin Medical School, that's where they go. And then we pay for it regardless of cost because they gave their bodies in defense of our nation.
Okay. It's just a tremendous scandal, this Walter Reed scandal, just an awful, hideous thing that these soldiers who went over there to fight this war, which shouldn't have been fought or launched in the first place, come back to inferior, appalling conditions. And George Bush all along has been saying, you know, we're giving our fighting soldiers the best equipment. They weren't getting the best equipment. When they come back, we're giving them the best health care. They're not getting the best health care. Finally, someone's been held accountable, but, you know, you can't fire the commander-in-chief.
Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice made some news this week when she said this.
I would note that the Iraqi government has invited all of its neighbors, including Syria and Iran, to attend both of these regional meetings. We hope that all governments will seize this opportunity to improve their relations with Iraq and to work for peace and stability in the region.
So is this meaning the U.S. is going to be talking to Iran, even though the administration said it didn't want to do that, Matt Rothschild?
Well, at least there's the appearance of that. The question is this a real sea change in Bush policy, or is this a charade? And I tend to believe it's a charade because I still believe that George W. Bush is going to bomb Iran before he leaves office. And he is going to find a way to say that Iran, you know, has been hostile to U.S. troops in Iraq or is not cooperating at this regional meeting or whatever excuse he's going to find, he's going to take it. I mean, I imagine it's possible that Dick Cheney wasn't real happy with this because Cheney's been one of the leading hawks on Iran. But maybe he said, you know, let Condoleezza Rice go have her little four-way talk with Syria and Iraq and Iran and the U.S., and it'll come to nothing, and then it's my turn.
Mm-hmm. John Sharpless.
I think we've needed this for a long time. I think one of the reasons why the policy in the Middle East has been adrift is we've lifted Iraq out of context. It becomes this, if we win Iraq, we win the region. And Matt questioned that logic years ago. I mean, even if you win, what have you got? So I think that I'm hoping, Matt, that this is not window dressing. I'm really hoping that they could begin to have the neighboring countries have a consistent, a true pledge towards peace and stability in the region. The truth is that our deployment in Iraq has helped Iran immensely. I mean, the United States has to admit to that. Whether you support the war or you don't support the war, the truth is that our deployment in Iraq has strengthened Iran. We actually worked to their betterment in this exercise. Their most serious adversary is no longer a serious adversary, Saddam Hussein. So, as often happens with American foreign policy, we consistently create unintended consequences which cost us more lives, more money, more equipment, and more international prestige.
Another issue this week, a Florida Republican is calling a Democratic anti-war proposal a fig leaf, designed to distract the public from what he says is the Democrats' ultimate goal of cutting funds for combat troops. Congressman Adam Putnam says Republicans support funding the troops without strings attached. Here's U.S. Senator Russ Feingold also commenting on these resolutions that would either rescind authority to the war in Iraq and or insist that the troops that are sent to the war in Iraq have adequate training, and that might somehow affect this surge. But here's what U.S. Senator Russ Feingold says about all this.
If it really is language that revokes the authority and truly moves us in the direction of getting out of Iraq, that's one thing. If, on the other hand, it's just an attempt to modify authorizing Iraq in a way that kind of keeps it going, I won't be comfortable with that. I think we need to look at removing the funding for this war as a way to really get the job done. That will be much more effective than this.
What do you think, John Sharpless?
This is all talk about theater. All the stuff that's going on in Congress right now has very little to do with reality. The president can continue to fight this war literally without Congress because the Democrats do not have a sufficient majority to override his veto. He's going to, if they can get any kind of coherent, sharp critique of the war through, and I suspect they won't be able to because there are lots of Democrats who don't want to admit that they voted for this war in the first place. So there's going to be a lot of dissonance even on their side. Even if they get a resolution through that curtails spending in some way, the president will veto it. It's done. This man is going to finish this war on his own terms over the next 2 years, come hell or high water. And I don't think Congress has the votes necessary. They'd need... Remember what they need to override a veto, and they don't have it. They're not even close to it being override a veto. So all of this is puffery. This is all positioning for the next election. It has nothing to do with George Bush and his project in the Middle East.
Matt?
Well, I think Russ Feingold hit it right on the head. I mean, is the Democratic Party going to stand up on this? I mean, leaving aside the question of whether Bush is going to veto it and whether the Democrats with Republicans can override the veto, I've been embarrassed at the performance of the Democratic leadership on this question of the Iraq war. I mean, there have been a few courageous Democrats like Russ Feingold who really take the bull by the horns and say, look, we've got to rise to our constitutional obligations and cut the purse strings on this war once and for all. That's our obligation. And everything else is just a silly little dance. You know, they're going to not retroactively not authorize the war. And the language that I saw in there said that George Bush can continue anyway. So what does that mean? That means absolutely nothing. Same with a non-binding resolution. Let's get something binding here. Let's do something constitutional here and withdraw funding for this war. You know, at some point, it may be possible to sustain a veto. I mean, George W. Bush's popularity now is below the freezing mark. I mean, it's at 29% I saw yesterday. And as this war continues to go from bad to worse, I do think there will be an increasing number of Republicans who are willing to say enough is enough.
Mm-hmm. That was just to wake us up. That was the stock bell win that freaked a lot of people out this week. A global stock selling wave appeared to begin on Tuesday when China suffered a nearly 9% decline. The Shanghai index rebounded before heading lower again. Another scare on Thursday morning. The Dow fell 200 points in the first few minutes of trading on the heels of similar declines in European markets. How's the economy doing, John Sharpless?
Actually, the economy is doing pretty well. Recent data shows that we're roughly where Clinton left it. So I think in many sectors, the economy's recovered. I'm sure Matt's going to point out that a lot of the, and this is a matter of great concern, I think, to Americans, a lot of the jobs, each time we go through one of these troughs, the jobs that return are not the jobs that are lost. That's one of the tragedies of the American economy is we run through these cycles, and at each recovery, the jobs that Americans have available in the recovery are not the jobs that they were laid off from. They don't have the kind of benefits that were associated with the job they lost. They don't have the wage levels. They don't have the protections. So you have a new job, and that many Americans are thankful for that. But that job just is not the job that you need to pay the bills that you're facing. And so I think the economy has recovered. I think we are in a better place than we were 4 years ago. This international markets thing, I think I've never been able to figure out stock markets. The university doesn't pay me enough to play that game. So I'm not quite sure what goes on. Clearly, there's an interesting thing happening internationally with multiple markets. And then if you tie the multiple markets to computer-triggered trading, you're going to have a very volatile world. And I think one of the fantasies was that computers would actually make markets more stable. It appears now that computers are actually making commodity and stock markets more unstable.
We're running short on time. Do you have a comment on that market thing and the economy?
Yeah, I mean, I just think the U.S. economy may be heading into a recession. Even Alan Greenspan mm-hmm. suggested that possibility. Look, housing is down, manufacturing's down, durable goods are down. The market took a hit this week. I do think at such a point, we need to see who's responsible. Greenspan's responsible. Bernanke is responsible because they raised interest rates 17 times. They probably raised it about five times too many. And also, I think the Democrats on this have got to pay attention and stop, you know, singing out of the same hymnal as Republicans on a balanced budget, because when an economy heads south, you can't have a balanced budget. Maybe we should have bigger budget deficits right now, not for war, not for tax relief to the top 1%.
Let me ask you, Matt, first about this. The House passed a pro-labor bill yesterday. It will help workers form unions, but it looks here like President Bush will veto it should it pass the Senate.
It sure should. I mean, one of the problems with the way management, big business, has been able to operate in the last 50 years, especially the last 30, is it's been able to do so against the law. I mean, according to Robert Reich, U.S. Labor Secretary under Clinton, one out of four workers dismissed, fired, has been fired illegally for union activity over the last 10 or 15 years. Right now, though, unionized workforces in this country is about 12%, way down. Actually, a study just came out that said 53% of U.S. workers want to join the labor union, but they're afraid if they do so, they'll get canned. So we've got to do something about our labor laws that were enshrined during the New Deal. They haven't been enforced in the last 30 years.
Mm-hmm. John Sharpless?
I'm a little surprised that that's one in four people who are laid off because they joined or they
fired.
Tried to fired. I'm yeah, sure, whatever.
Robert Reich.
Well, bless him. He's a cute little guy, and he's very bright. And I always loved it when he was up on the stage with Clinton because there was this difference in stature.
He and Shalala were the
same. That's right. They both got little stools so they could stand next to the number one man. Obviously, Robert Reich's a very bright guy. I don't know if this number's right. As a practical matter, labor unions have had a very difficult time organizing in the last 20 or 30 years, and I think some of it does have to do with employers. I'm not naive about that. I also think it has to do with some major sectoral changes in our economy. It has to do with a lot of undocumented immigrants in our country holding ghost jobs that can't be organized. If they're ghost jobs, they can't be organized. There's lots of frustrations for modern labor unions. They want protections. They support the Democratic Party with enormous amounts of money. And so now the Democrats dominate Congress and they're going to try to get a bill through. I would be surprised if this bill in its current form makes it through the Senate. I would be shocked because there are more conservative Democrats on that side. Second, it's not going to get by the president. I think what we're going to see here is George Bush is going to close out his term vetoing more bills than Ford did in his years. I think Ford holds the record for having vetoed the most bills. I think you're going to see these bills get on George Bush's desk. He's going to veto them, and there's going to be a ritual that goes on here. Most of this is about posturing for the next election. That's what this is about.
I'm just going to spend one moment on some state issues, and I promise listeners we'll review more state issues in our new state capitol report that we do every Monday after 7 o'clock. So we'll talk more about what happened this week at the state capitol on Monday. But let me ask both of you if you think, is this a big deal that this Kenosha millionaire has been indicted, a contributor to Governor Doyle's campaign that's on the front pages this morning? How big a deal is this, Matt Rothschild?
It's a huge deal. The allegation is that Dennis Troha, who's been interested in building a casino down in Kenosha, gave $500,000 to Everything Doyle over the last 4 years and did so allegedly illegally by funneling money to family members who would then in turn use that money that he gave to them to Doyle. There's suggestions in the indictment that not Doyle himself, but a Doyle campaign aide had gone to Troha and said, we need $50,000 the next month, please get it. And whether they knew how he was going to get it or not is another thing. This raises huge questions about the Doyle campaign, huge questions again about campaign finance and how corrupting that is in this state.
Yeah. Any comments on that,
Brent? I think that in the last couple of weeks, the Doyle administration looks really bad on this. They suggest that we're supposed to sell off one of the prime pieces of state real estate, an office building that Fred Risser didn't even know was at. You know, here he is, chairman of the building committee. He didn't even know that the building was going to be sold off. The building's going to be sold off by a real estate combine down in Chicago that's going to get twice the percentage than a local firm would get. Now we find that a gambling syndicate was up to their knees in the Doyle campaign. This is a gambling syndicate. This is the kind of corruption that we think is associated with places like New Jersey.
Yeah.
But remember, the people voted Doyle into office. I think they were fully aware that this kind of stuff circled around the Doyle administration. Remember, there's people doing jail time for him right now.
We'll have to get updates from both of you in future Week in Reviews as we follow that particular story. John Sharpless, thanks very much for being here. And Matt Rothschild, thank you. And thanks for your pledge to Wisconsin Public Radio. We appreciate it.
You're quite welcome, Joe.
Matt Rothschild, editor of The Progressive, and John Sharpless, professor of history at UW-Madison. We thank them both for being our guests this week on the Week in Review. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. Thank you for being with us, and I hope you stay tuned as we encourage you to pledge your support in these last 12 minutes or so to the Week in Review here on the Ideas Network. Joining me to talk with you is program producer Leo Duran. Hello, Leo.
Hi, Joy.
Also, our talk executive producer, Cheryl Gasser. Hello, Cheryl.
Good morning, Joy.
And our associate director with this important hourly update for us on our overall goal, Anders Yoakum. Hi, Anders.
Well, good morning. We're counting down in two important ways. 34 hours and 12 minutes remaining in this current pledge campaign, and we're now down to $278,824 needed to be raised by 7 o'clock tomorrow night. So we've made some good progress this morning, but $278,824 to go in the next 34 hours and 10 minutes.
Thank you very much, Anders. We'll do our part, we hope, in the next 10 minutes or so. Right now, $5,000 raised toward a $7,500 goal. So we did make that challenge in the beginning of the hour. Thank you very much. $500 added to our total because we did raise the $3,000 by 20 after 8. But now $2,500 or so to go. Leo Duran, can we do it?
Of course we can do it. When you call in to 1-800-383-9772, remember that your pledge of any amount, whatever you decide, gets you that Wisconsin Legislative and Congressional Handbook. So call in to 1-800-383-9772. You get to decide how much you want to pledge to Wisconsin Public Radio. You get to decide how you want to do it, if you want to check in the mail, if you want to do it by credit card, etc. Just call in to 1-800-383-9772.
And the Wisconsin Legislative and Congressional Handbook, a directory with phone numbers, emails, addresses, web pages for your state and congressional representatives here in Wisconsin, quick and easy ways to contact them. We know you want to stay in touch on news and politics. We help you do that here on the Week in Review. And for a pledge of any level, that directory coming your way. This is your last chance to pledge your support for the Week in Review here on Joy's program. Your last chance to pledge for Joy's program. Coming back to you Monday, the pledge drive will be over. We'll bring you our wonderful programming. And that is really what you're pledging for. 800-383-9772 or WPR.org.
I can't thank you enough if you have already called in a pledge to Wisconsin Public Radio, if you're an ongoing member, contributor to Wisconsin Public Radio. Thank you so very much. Right now, we're talking to you, though. If you have the means to make a contribution to Wisconsin Public Radio, you appreciate, you value the programming that you hear, not only during the Week in Review, though I'm happy to have you here on the Week in Review, but what you hear all week long, all day long on the Ideas Network. Your contribution pays for all of the programming on Wisconsin Public Radio. A third of our budget comes from listener support, and we really do need to reach this hourly goal of $7,500 on this, the last Friday of our pledge drive, in order to stay on track, in order to do our part for the overall pledge drive. 1-800-383-9772. Make a pledge of any amount. It will all help. 1-800-383-9772 or WPR.org.
When you pledge to 1-800-383-9772, also think about how much this programming has meant to you. How much was that hour with John Sharpless and Matt Rothschild worth to you, where they had their candid takes on this week's news? And think about when Joy talked about the State of the Union address and the State of the State address, all these important political events that are happening throughout Wisconsin and the nation. And Wisconsin Public Radio tries to bring you the best information from legislators, from analysts, etc. So the number to call to pledge your support to this kind of programming is 1-800-383-9772.
Pledge because Joy's show keeps you up to date on what's going on in state and national politics. Joy talks regularly with lawmakers, candidates, political analysts, the movers and shakers in Wisconsin politics. On the Week in Review, you hear from great guests like Matt and John every week. Week after week, you get a chance to be part of the conversation. This is our last hour of the pledge drive for Joy's show. Call in and pledge your support. 800-383-9772. Or online, WPR.org.
Cheryl, it's actually the last 8 minutes of this program. So, I mean, we don't have an hour for you to call in your support if you're a regular listener to the Week in Review. if you listen to the morning program on a regular basis. This is it. The last 8 minutes of the pledge drive, as far as I'm concerned, and as far as the week in review is concerned. So if you're listening right now, you're by the phone right now, or you're by your computer right now, make your pledge right now. If you, you know, get in the car and drive to work or something else, you might not get around to it later on. Do call it in now. 1-800-383-9772. 1-800-383-9772 or WPR.org. So far, $5,165 raised toward a $7,500 goal. Still just over $2,300 to go. We can do it with your help, but Leo, only 7 more minutes to go.
That's right. We need to make that goal because it helps us keep on track for making the overall goal for our pledge drive. So call 1-800-383-9772. We really, 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 really want to make this goal. And you can make it happen when you call to pledge your support of any amount you decide. Whatever you think Wisconsin Public Radio is worth to you every single day, every single morning, call in to 1-800-383-9772.
Or pledge online at WPR.org. It really does take teamwork. It takes Joy and Leo, Carmen Jackson, Karen Prager, our top-notch guests like Matt and John, great callers, wonderful listeners, and members. Won't you become one today? This is the last few minutes for Joy's program of our pledge drive, the last chance for us to ask for your support. We want to meet and exceed that goal of $7,500, and we can do it with your pledge.
1-800-383-9772 or WPR.org. This is my last opportunity to personally invite you to join me with, along with Larry Mueller and Cheryl Gasser and Gene Faraca, for the Cruise of Ideas on Lake Monona on Saturday, June the 30th. It'll be a lot of fun. We'll have a great time. That's something you might consider at $100 a month. You can put that on your credit card and you can charge it monthly, $100 a month. A $1,200 pledge to Wisconsin Public Radio gets you, with our great thanks, 2 tickets to the Cruise of Ideas. 1-800-383-9772 or WPR.org.
And that cruise sounds especially nice, especially considering the weather in Wisconsin today. So think about it. June 30th, you get to hang out with some of your favorite hosts of Wisconsin Public Radio on the lake, and you get to have, I believe you get to hang out at Larry Mueller's house.
That's
afterwards.
Right. Afterwards, we're going to eat lots of fattening desserts and play some games and have great conversation. We're really looking forward to that, but I'm really looking forward to your pledge of any amount right now in the next 5 minutes or so. If we're going to make that goal, it's the goal is $7,500. We have made just over almost $5,600 so far this hour, so $1,900 to go. We can do it with your call, 1-800-383-9772, 1-800-383-9772, or WPR.org.
And you can pledge any amount, but here are some ideas for you. If you want to pledge $5 a month, that turns out to be a $60 pledge. If you decide to pledge $10 a month, that's $120 throughout the whole year. Plus, you get our member benefits card, which entitles you to 2-for-1 entrees at more than 250 restaurants throughout the state. Many and many other discounts in there included as well. If you decide to pledge $100 a month, like you said, you can be a part of that cruise. You can be a part of that cruise June 30th. In Madison. So call 1-800-383-9772.
Your last chance, just 4 more minutes during this hour. We are about $1,700 away from our goal this hour. It's so important to make these hourly goals to stay on track for the overall drive. Keep Wisconsin Public Radio going strong. Support the quality that you've come to enjoy each weekday morning on Joy's show. And frankly, this is your chance to say thank you to Joy and to Leo for the hard work they do day after day to bring you the best programming that they can. 1-800-383-9772.
Cheryl and Leo, I'm guilty as charged. I wait until the last minute all the time. I often don't make my contribution to Wisconsin Public Radio until the last day when I get off the air. And I know how that goes. You've been meaning to do it. Now is the time. Only a couple of minutes left in the hour to pledge any amount to support Wisconsin Public Radio, to support the in-depth discussions that you get on current issues and other issues that matter to you weekday mornings and all day long, for that matter, on the Ideas Network. I'd like to thank Dia and Andrew in Burlington, who did call in their pledge this hour, saying, "We were waiting all week to pledge this hour because I plan my week around listening to the Week in Review." Well,
thank you
well, very much, Dia and Andrew. 1-800-383-9772.
I was just thinking about how maybe we should do a show on how not to procrastinate. So we only have a few minutes left, and it's important that you don't procrastinate, that you call now, because we only have about $1,000 more to go before we reach that goal. It's just a few more minutes, so please, please call in now to 1-800-383-9772.
Oh, Cheryl, a minute to go and $1,000 to go. So if somebody calls in a pledge for that cruise, we'd do it. But more importantly, your call right now could indeed help us reach that goal. And it's so important on this last day to make our goals.
1-800-383-9772. We want to go out during this last few minutes making that goal. You can do it. $7,500. We have about $1,000 to go. Pledge online takes just a few minutes. Your pledges will count through the news, WPR.org, or 1-800-383-9772. Pledge to Joy's show because you count on it for news and information. You're informed and entertained. This is your last chance to pledge during her program. Make the call now. Go to your computer, WPR.org.
And when you pledge either way, by phone at 1-800-383-9772 or by the website, WPR.org. We keep it safe and secure so we don't sell it to anybody else. It's just here at Wisconsin Public Radio.
Thank you, Leo. Thank you, Cheryl. And thank you so much if you've called in your pledge this drive. If you haven't, 1-800-383-9772. Thanks to Marion Madison. She loves the Week in Review, so she pledged this hour. How about you? 1-800-383-9772.